Political turmoil turns violent in Burkina Faso. Sierra Leone said to be bearing the brunt of the Ebola epidemic. I'm Victor Beatty reporting from Washington in the capital city of Burkina Faso. Gunfire erupted outside state television headquarters Sunday as the army opened fire on opposition protesters over its seizure of power in the wake of last week's resignation of longtime President Blaise Compaoré. At least one person was killed. Thousands of protesters led by opposition leader Saran Sareem and a former army general headed to RTB television station to declare themselves in charge of the transition, but were blocked by security forces. The signs of discontent emerged after the military named Lieutenant Colonel Yakuba Isaac Zida to head a transitional government. The Africa Governance Initiative warns Ebola is spreading up to 9 times faster in parts of Sierra Leone than 2 months ago. It says an average of 12 new cases a day were seen in rural areas around the capital, Freetown. Appearing on U.S. television Sunday, U.S. UN Ambassador Samantha Power praised U.S. and British efforts for helping turn the tide against Ebola in Liberia by improving the rate of safe burials to 90%. The U.S. diplomat just back from the region says the awareness campaign has also improved.
More and more people are getting educated. There's social mobilization that's now stretching out into the countryside. And I just got off the phone this morning with the head of the U.N. operation in the region. And he's done a full tour into the countryside. And he said wherever we have an Ebola treatment unit, a lab, and social mobilization, infection rates are coming way down. Where we don't, they're not. It's that simple.
Meanwhile, a fifth doctor in Sierra Leone has tested positive for the deadly virus. More than 500 health workers have contracted Ebola since March. About half of them have died. The epidemic has killed more than 4,900 people. This is VOA News. The UN Refugee Agency says attacks by the militant Islamist group Boko Haram on the Nigerian-Cameroon border are interrupting efforts to relocate refugees of the violence to a more secure camp. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
UNHCR spokesman William Spindler says Cameroonian civilians are living in a state of terror due to these frequent attacks. He says the insurgents reportedly have started to target civilians in Cameroon.
Nigerian refugees who fled previous attacks by the insurgents in northeastern Nigeria are asking to be moved away from the border area as quickly as possible.
Newly arriving refugees tell aid workers they were pursued by insurgents during their flight. They say they have seen loved ones being murdered. Spindler says many refugees are traumatized. Furthermore, he notes many families have become separated along the way, leaving many women and children extremely vulnerable. The UNHCR is trying to relocate the refugees in the border zone to the Minowau camp about 120 kilometers from the border. The agency says the camp population has nearly tripled in the past 2 months and stands at nearly 16,300 refugees. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Sudan's opposition Congress Party says it will boycott next year's elections because the restrictive political climate does not allow for a fair vote. Speaking Sunday at the Khartoum airport, where authorities barred him from leaving, party leader Ibrahim El-Sheikh said his party will also boycott a national dialogue launched by President Omar al-Bashir earlier this year. Sheikh was released from jail in September after spending 3 months in custody for criticizing the security and intelligence services for allegedly abusing civilians in western Darfur region. The Libyan army has urged residents of the district that holds the city's seaport in Benghazi to evacuate ahead of a planned offensive against Islamist militia. More than 200 people have been killed since the army, backed by forces loyal to former General Khalifa Haftar, attacked Islamist groups in the eastern city. The army says it has recaptured barracks lost to the Islamists in August. The struggle is part of a wider conflict in the North African country, where former rebels who helped oust Muammar Gaddafi are fighting among themselves for power and a share of oil revenue. Kenya's Wilson Kipsang and Mary Caitney have both won the top men's and women's titles at the New York City Marathon Sunday. Kipsang won the 42-kilometer race in an unofficial time of 2 hours, 10 minutes, and 59 seconds. Caitney finished in an unofficial time of 2 hours, 25 minutes, and 7 seconds, just 3 seconds ahead of fellow Kenyan Jemima Jelagat. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
What's Universal Time? Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines. Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Monday, November 3rd, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Burkina Faso's military promises unity to transitional government, but political leaders say the military belongs in a barracks.
We know that the political business is the job of political parties. For us, army cannot involve in politics. So we think it is better for the army to let the political people rule the country.
Arbor Kende is a member of the Union for Progress and Change political party in Burkina Faso. We have in-depth reporting on the political-military crisis in Burkina Faso. Sierra Leone's chief medical officer expresses concern about inflated Ebola deaths in his country. And a U.S. diplomat comments on travel restrictions from West Africa Ebola countries.
I think we have no philosophical objection to dealing with visa issues or travel issues if we thought it would keep the American people safe. But we think the better way is to actually increase the traffic into these countries of health professionals.
Samantha Power is the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Low rainfall causes drought-like conditions in Senegal's north, and malnutrition cripples child development in South Africa. Those stories plus Mark Oldman Sports and our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The people of Burkina Faso took to the streets again on Sunday, this time to protest against the army, which the political opposition says is trying to hijack the people's overthrow of President Blaise Compaoré. The military declared itself in charge on Friday after four consecutive days of large and at times violent protests resulted in Mr. Compaoré's resignation. Viewers and Look has the latest with reporting in Ouagadougou by Zumana Wanago.
Thousands of people demonstrated Sunday in Ouagadougou. Some carried signs reading, "Soldiers stole our revolution." This man says this wasn't a coup, so they don't understand why the military thought they could choose the new head of state. The opposition had called for the protest. Opposition member Jean-Hubert Bazier read the declaration late Saturday.
L'opposition politique et les OSC ont réaffirmé que la victoire issue de l'insurrection populaire.
He says the victory resulting from this people's insurrection belongs to the people, and as a result, the leadership of the transition belongs to the people and should not be confiscated under any circumstances by the army. The transition should be, quote, democratic and civilian. Opposition leaders spent Sunday behind closed doors, meeting with the country's military leader, Lieutenant Colonel Yakuba Isaac Zida. Outside, demonstrations gave way to more of the confusion that has characterized this crisis. Soldiers took over the state television station and fired warning shots to disperse a large crowd Sunday afternoon. Opposition politician Sarin Sarame was inside. People in the crowd said she was going to declare herself president. But Sarah May told reporters afterwards that the crowd had pushed her there and she sought refuge inside. She said she was not going to make a declaration. After Mr. Compaoré's resignation Friday, two military officers each made statements claiming to be in charge. On Saturday, the military named one of them Lieutenant Colonel Zida as head of the transition. Zida, the number two in the country's elite presidential guard, has pledged to hold democratic elections, quote, as soon as possible, but has given no details. He suspended the Constitution, declared a nighttime curfew, and shut the country's borders. The United Nations, the African Union, and the Economic Community of West African States sent a delegation to Burkina Faso.
Nous espérons qu'il y aura une transition conduite.
UN Special Representative Mohamed Ibn Shambas called for dialogue and said Sunday, quote, that we hope for a transition led by a civilian and in line with the Constitution. If that is not done, he said, the consequences are clear. He said they must do, quote, all they can to avoid sanctions and a suspension of Burkina Faso. The Constitution says the head of the National Assembly takes over in the president's absence. However, he has reportedly also fled the country, and the army dissolved the National Assembly. In such a case, the Constitutional Court could name a new leader. The international delegation said that the regional Ebola epidemic makes it especially important for the country's interim leadership to restore government administration and public services as soon as possible. Burkina Faso has not had any confirmed cases of Ebola, but neighboring Mali declared its first case in October. Anne Luck, VOA News, Dakar.
Furious Maria Madiallo takes an in-depth look at how things deteriorated so quickly for Burkina Faso President Blaise Compaoré, who had been in power for 27 years, and what comes next for the West African country.
Days after forcing President Blaise Compaoré out of power after 27 years, thousands took to the streets of Burkina Faso's capital, Ouagadougou, on Sunday to demand the military hand over power to civilian authorities. Some held signs that read, quote, "The military has hijacked our revolution," unquote.
Les plus grandes démocraties du monde sont gouvernées par les civils.
This demonstrator declared that the biggest democracies in the world are governed by civilians, not by soldiers.
L'armée est réservée pour sauvegarder le territoire national.
Another said the army's role is to safeguard our national territory. So, as far as I'm concerned, they've got to go, unquote. In Washington, Dr. Suleiman Niang, professor and chairman of the African Studies Department at Howard University, says events in Burkina Faso must be looked at in relation to developments in other parts of Africa.
We have to go back over 3 years ago when the situation was unfolding in North Africa. What was called the Arab Spring must be translated as the political Hamatan wind. From the north going south, it took this long before the Hamatan hit West Africa.
Niang says the Burkinabe youth are not taking action simply because they didn't like President Compaoré.
They are fighting because they don't want dictators who stay there, and they create corruption, lack of transparency, bad governance. They're not fighting for personality. They're not fighting for military leaders. They are fighting for justice.
Niang adds that President Compaoré was able to stay in power for 27 years for many reasons.
Compaoré was very close to Oufet Boigny and Charles Taylor and Fode Sanko. And his ability to serve as a broker, a peacemaker between the contending forces, legitimized his role.
Muni Kuda went back to his country after living in the United States for many years. He's the president of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce in Burkina Faso and spoke about what is happening in the country.
We are moving to a chaotic situation with everyone is trying to be a president. It's about time for the international community to step in and have things moving forward.
Kuda is also calling for the Burkinabe to rally behind Zida for at least the transitional period. In Washington, Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
The U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Power, has again said that she believes there are positive signs in all three hardest-hit Ebola-affected countries in West Africa. Ambassador Power, who has just returned from a tour of Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone, spoke on the American television network CBS program Face the Nation.
First, to my surprise, there really are positive signs in all three countries. In Liberia, thanks to the presence of the CDC and the U.S. military, we see the rate of safe burial, which is a key part of the solution here, skyrocketing to close to 90% in the capital, Monrovia. In Sierra Leone, the rate of safe burial within 24 hours is close to 100%. And CDC thinks that around half to 70% of the infections may well come from unsafe burial. So you can imagine what a difference that could start to make here, you know, just in a matter of days or weeks. More and more people are getting educated. There's social mobilization that's now stretching out into the countryside. And I just got off the phone this morning with the head of the UN operation in the region, and he's done a full tour into the countryside, and he said wherever we have an Ebola treatment unit, a lab, and social mobilization, infection rates are coming way down. Where we don't, they're not. It's that simple.
Ambassador Powell also responded to a question on Canada's decision to suspend issuing visas to residents of Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone.
Well, President Obama's message on this and his view on this has been clear, I think, from the start, which is that his number one priority is keeping the American people safe. And the best way to keep the American people safe is to deal with this problem aggressively at its source. And that is where our emphasis has been. I think we have no philosophical objection to dealing with visa issues or travel issues if we thought it would keep the American people safe. But we think the better way is to actually increase the traffic into these countries of health professionals and of people who can actually help with the response.
That was Samantha Powell, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, speaking Sunday on American television network CBS program Face the Nation. Today's Monday, the third day of November, and you're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. And please send your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Daybreak Africa time is coming up at 16 minutes past the hour. Sierra Leone's chief medical officer, Dr. Brahima Kabo, said his country did not underreport Ebola deaths. Dr. Kabo was reacting to comments reportedly made on Friday by Ronnie Zachariah of Doctors Without Borders, who said after visiting Sierra Leone that he felt the global total of 5,000 Ebola deaths was underreported. Zachariah also reportedly said that Ebola wiped out several villages and communities in Sierra Leone. Dr. Kabo says Sierra Leone authorities have observed a tendency by some international partners to inflate Ebola figures for Sierra Leone.
Absolutely, it is not true. The easy is what we call probable death, suspected death, and confirmed death. And we only report those deaths that are confirmed to persons infected.